Anyone can access any federal court documents in the United States for a cost. 10 cents a page is the going rate. And that might seem cheap, but it's more than what it costs the government to send out those documents, a lot more. Some estimates put the price at just half of 1/10,000th of a penny to send out a page. And for reporters or academics who are combing through thousands of pages of information, 10 cents can quickly add up. Now, a group of legal nonprofit groups are asking the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals to weigh in on these federal court document fees. For more, I'm joined now by Shira Shenlin, a former United States District Judge and counsel at Strook, Strook & Levin. Welcome, Shira.
Hi there.
And we're also joined by Matt Ford, a staff writer for The New Republic, who recently reported on this case. Matt, we'll go to you first. The case deals with the public access to court electronic records, or PACER. I never actually knew what that acronym stood for. There you go. So PACER is a system for accessing federal court documents. Matt, what is PACER and how long has it been around?
Well, it's a web portal that allows anybody in the United States to access virtually any court document at their fingertips, both currently working their way through the system, as well as cases from recent decades. And it's kind of an amazing innovation because before the advent of the internet, the only way to view these documents would have been to go to a courthouse in person and sit in the clerk's office and thumb through them. So in the 1990s, they developed a system that would allow people to use the fledgling internet to view them instead.
And every time you click on a link that takes you to a page, it's 10 cents. Why is it 10 cents?
Well, it's a fee that they impose, and they argue that allows them to, maintain the system and provide public access to these documents. And to the extent that that was true in the 1990s, it does not appear to be true now. The cost of storing these files and disseminating them has dropped precipitously, thanks to the advent of new technologies. And as you mentioned, the cost of actually distributing these on the government side, 1/1,000th of a penny, is marginal compared to the amount of money they bring in for each click.
And what is the federal government doing with all this money they're making off of PACER?
Well, the judiciary is using it as almost sort of a slush fund of sorts, as one author put it. They're using it to fund a variety of improvements in courthouses. Now, that may sound good, things like, access for jurors, automated bankruptcy notices, even a court study down in Mississippi. But these aren't really what the PACER fees are meant to be used for. Federal law actually gives a much clearer direction for that. And these are the sort of things that should be paid for by congressional appropriations.
Judge Shenlin, you signed on to an amicus brief saying that court documents should be obtained for free. Why do you object to the federal government charging this 10 cents a page fee here?
Well, because we believe in public access to courtrooms and for people to walk into a courtroom, there's no charge, obviously. You can sit in the back and watch anything you want. But much of what goes on in court is not in the courtroom. It's in the papers that are filed in the docket. And so if you really want a picture of a case, if you want to know what was the complaint and what was the response to the complaint and what was the discovery, you need to get into the docket. So to really have public access, the public has to have an equal opportunity to obtain those papers, not just those who can afford it, but everyone. Very few cases, as you might know, actually go to trial. So much of what happens in the federal court is not in the room, not in that actual courtroom. Only about 2% of cases go to trial. So most of the work is outside that courtroom. And if you need to get that picture, you need to get into the papers. So the best example is what we call pro se litigants, which are the poor people who cannot afford counsel. And they write their own petitions and they try to get their claims passed by the court. But if they had access to other people's papers that have been successful, they would write better papers. Mm-hmm. And they just don't have that access. It's too expensive for poor people to do it page by page.
And that's who would be most affected by who are most affected by these fees. It's people who cannot afford to spend a ton of money to pull these documents because they're not even paying for their own attorney.
Well, yes, that's true. But in my opinion, there are three groups that are most affected. The first are what I call these pro se litigants, which means I am for myself. There's no counsel. But the other group are academics and researchers who want to work with big data, who want aggregated data of thousands of cases across the country. And academics are not the richest people in the world, and their universities can't always fund them. So they need to get data from all over the country, and they're not getting that data. And the third group, I think, are journalists. I know we have a journalist on the phone, but some journalists are better funded than others. We have local community journalists. Media is all types of different entities these days. And so if you want to do a story, you need to get a lot of data for it. You may not have funds to do this at 10 cents a page, and that 10 cents is completely unnecessary.
Matt, as reporters, this has an impact for those of us in this line of work, right? I mean, I've slogged through the Pacer system many times and clicked 10 cents, 10 cents, 10 cents. It's sort of a clunky system. How are journalists affected by these fees?
Well, it really comes into play when you deal with stories that require you to go through a lot of cases. And, you know, for academics and researchers, as the judge mentioned, are the biggest impact hit by that. And as the judge said, you know, if you work for the New York Times or Politico, it's not that big of a deal to pay, you know, a certain amount of fees for these documents. But if you're a smaller news outlet, if you're working at a local paper, and if you're working as an independent journalist, then these can be formidable barriers.
Can you lay out why other Americans should care that it might cost an independent journalist a bunch of money to dig into a court case, a scenario where that might matter to the average American?
Well, you know, the scrutiny of the courts is one of the most important aspects of legal journalism. You know, it's a way to check and make sure that judges are actually, you know, following through on case law, following through on precedent. And not only that, but they're making decisions that are in the public's best interest.
And Judge, are there options for people who don't want to go online to pay for these documents? I mean, could you show up in the courthouse and request documents for free, or is that not even possible?
You could still go to the courthouse and request documents, but it's not for free, because if you want to read them and sit there and take notes, that's free. But if you want to make a photocopy, you're back to the 10 cents a page.
And Matt, when can we expect a decision in this lawsuit? Do you have a sense of the time frame here?
Well, within the coming year, we would see the oral arguments in this case before the Federal Circuit, and a decision could come, you know, later this year or early next year.
Matt Ford is a staff writer at The New Republic, and Shira Shenlin is a former United States District Judge. Thank you very much to you both.
You're most welcome. Bye-bye.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.